RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back, everybody, to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes.
Yeah, so, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what? I've been sitting here thinking.
What's that?
You think there's a like a place, you know, for Thea, you know, and me?
No.
What? You know, not even like...
No, in a multiverse of possibilities, Josh, there is no way that she'd go out with a guy like you.
Oh, guy like me? What do you mean guy like me?
Jeez. Well, you know, I mean like, you know, just like a married father who podcasts in the evenings.
Yeah, that actually makes sense. When you put it like that, I don't even want to go for a guy like me. So that's...
Oh, man, I didn't mean it like that. That's not the spirit of the holidays
here. I got to go brood in my cave now, so it's
I have failed this podcast.
No, I'm good. That's okay. So she's not my type. You know, she's like a third my age. That's not my type, so.
It could be, but it's not.
And more like half, by the way, not a third.
Oh, okay.
I'm not in my 60s, man, so don't.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, and she's not 18 or whatever, no. Or 16 or 12.
She has issues though, and to actually thinking of this through a little bit with the, I'm not sure I really want to get close to the Queen family. I think I'm good keeping my distance, just kind of watching from afar.
Yeah, there are as far as fictional families go that you want to hang out with, is probably not one of them. So
no. Although if Stephen Amell is listening and you decide you want to come on the podcast, I'll change my mind quickly.
yeah, exactly. So, all right. So, you know, regrets, you've had a few. Why don't you tell us about what this episode is called here?
That's right. There are too few to mention, really. So let me just explain to you about the episode. It was season 5, episode 9, What We Leave Behind. That was the name of the episode. I wasn't asking you or anything like that.
Yes.
Aired December 7th, 2016, and it was written by Wendy Miracle and Beth Schwartz and directed by Antonio Negrete.
Yes, an episode that will live in infamy.
Miracle, Schwartz, and Negrete. Sounds like a law firm.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
It's going to be a law firm in the background of Arrow, of an episode of Arrow. But, well, you know what? Prometheus has spent a few weeks sharpening pointy things, and now that Evelyn has given him all the personal information for Oliver and everyone else on the team, he has what he needs to lay down a world of hurt. Well, first he attacks Curtis outside the City Hall Christmas party, right in front of his husband, Paul, sending him to the hospital and creating marital woes.
Yeah, it didn't even really have to hurt him that bad. Really just beat him up a little bit, and everything else just kind of unraveled as if it were planned.
Yes, it did. It did. Well, Prometheus has also left a trail to a rich pharmaceutical tycoon who Oliver happened to kill 4 years ago.
Whoa.
The team uses these clues to find Prometheus, but it also reveals Evelyn to be a traitor too. And then Felicity's cop boyfriend, Billy, is taken by Prometheus. Oliver manages to track him down based on memories of 4 years ago, but fails to take out the bad guy and instead kills Billy.
Oh, no.
That's not good.
I was wondering if they were going to have Billy get clubbed. But no, he got shot with arrows.
Oh, man.
Right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to need a second there. Okay. I got to back up a little bit here. It's so sad. Okay, so anyway. Billy.
And
anyway.
Scene.
So Prometheus really has driven his point home.
Oh, no.
Okay. I apologize to all of my audience that may have been shot with an arrow. Dropping the team down to some of their lowest points since last year's mid-season finale. Curtis is alone. Felicity is crushed, thanks to Jay's really rude comments. Diggle is caught, captured by either that or he went to like a, you know, a laser tag.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Oliver's new girlfriend. That's right, yeah. Well, either way, it looked like Diggle was caught. We're going to put that on the list. And Oliver's new girlfriend, Susan, is... Well, yeah, actually, she's making out pretty well with Oliver. This really just makes you want to just go down and brood for a while in your secret arrow lair all by yourself. Oh, hey, hi, Laurel.
What? And... cut to 7 weeks from now when Arrow returns on January 25th. It's like, hello, you're going to drop that bomb on us and then you're going to take 7 weeks off.
Of course they are.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, so that's it's going to give us time to figure out, like, really what the heck is going on here. So my initial reaction to this episode was one of unbelievableness. I just couldn't believe what I was watching, basically. And
unbelievableness is good. I think that's appropriate for this.
And then there was a part, and I was like, "Okay, this is picking up, but not too bad." And then I went back to the great WTF moment there, right, with the end. So
it's kind of a bell curve episode for you.
It was, yeah, but it favored the end a little bit more. I felt, I don't know. It's on second watching, it wasn't as, I just hesitate to use the word bad because I don't think it was bad. There was a lot of interesting stuff that was going on, but it kind of caught me off guard, and I was hoping that as we got back to more of what this Prometheus stuff was, I felt that it was going to be a little more, how do I want to term it? It was
fictional. I know what you're saying.
It was fictional, but it's a fictional show, so it's...
It's just a little, you had to suspend your disbelief a little bit on this one or something or whatever that phrase is. Now I have to point out, for me watching, you pretty much always get to see Arrow before I do because of the time zone.
Yeah.
And often you...
Because I'm living in the future.
You are living in the future. Often you will, send me a text and express your...
Son of a bitch!
emotional disgust. Or excitement. Also excitement,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
About the episode that you're watching. And so I often come into it kind of with a little heads up one way or the other. And also, I try to avoid Twitter and Facebook in those couple hours too, just so I don't catch something. And I have absolutely no problem if our listeners want to post stuff right after they watch it. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, so you go for it. It doesn't bother me at all because I just kind of avoid it in those 2 hours anyway. But So I went into this with not low expectations, but with the knowledge that you weren't maybe entirely satisfied with it. And so I kind of sat down with that knowledge, and as I'm watching it, I just kept enjoying it. I kept enjoying it some more.
This is awesome.
No, I did actually think of that. I'm like, I bet you he's not too fond of that. But you know what? I think I can understand why they did that. There was really only one moment in this that I went, wait, huh? Why? Why? And that was pretty much the moment when they decided to grappling hook Arrow down into the building to get Prometheus, and they did that zip line into the thing.
Yeah,
right next to the stairs.
I didn't even notice that. That was like the furthest thing from my mind.
Just walk down the stairs. Or just hey, you want to go faster? Slide down the rail or something. But it's okay. But anyway, that was the only thing that I ever had a problem with in this episode. I actually really enjoyed this episode. It threw me for a lot of moments where I was, saddened, right? There was some emotion in there, some excitement. I thought there were some pretty good fight scenes in there. And then at the end, you know, it was just a kind of a whole roller coaster of, oh my gosh. Oh no, poor guy, poor girl. But overall, I felt it was a good place to leave the mid-season finale because they really are at the bottom. I mean, they have hit the bottom here. And I want to see how they're going to claw their way back out of this. So, I was pleasantly surprised after talking to you.
I think it's mostly just because I'm dead inside, Josh, which is why I didn't like it. The guy that helps out with the Random Chatter Facebook account really enjoyed season 4, really enjoyed this episode, and I was posting in our little chat window how much I did not like it, and he's like, oh my gosh, I really loved it, and I'm like, well, we can never seem to agree on anything about Arrow. If you like it, I hate it. And someone else chimed in. It's like, you guys are like the sun and the moon in your epic struggle through the sky, never, you know, sharing the space at the same time. And it's like, yeah, well, that's how it is. So, well, let's get talking about this because I really want to understand what you thought about stuff in this episode, and maybe that'll help me get a little better feeling about it. Like I said, I think there was some interesting stuff going on too. But then
sure, and I really my goal here in our discussion is to not come across as an apologist. I know there were some flaws in this episode, as there is in most TV show episodes. It worked for me. There were a lot of things that worked for me. Not the zip line, but everything else worked for me in this.
Just say you're sorry, Josh.
So I'm sorry if you didn't like it.
All right. Well, so the title is What We Leave Behind. So the initial question I had sitting down to this episode is, well, what do we leave behind? And the first thing I thought about was a legacy, which is Thea, again, being like, they are really giving Thea some really great lines in the last 3 or 4 episodes. She has matured so much, and they're making her really wise, especially in the face of Oliver being so dumb sometimes, I think.
Isn't that how it is in a lot of families? I know.
Yeah.
I have that experience siblings, with my brother. So. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, are you the dumb one?
Usually, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But both my brothers, actually.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, that's why I have them.
So, what about with your wife? You're the dumb one with the wife, too, aren't you?
All the time? Around? Let's see. Always. Yes always. I think she's left now. Okay.
So, she points out that, the legacy is what we leave behind, but that we leave behind two versions, the good and the bad. Now, I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. Like, I mean, I guess to me, a legacy is always something that's good. Well, no, I guess that's true there. You could have a bad legacy when you're usually talking about your legacy or, it's usually something that's more positive. But I guess there could be a bad version. But she points out, of course, that Oliver is only ever focused on the bad legacy that he's leaving behind. He's just a very pessimistic kind of guy.
That's true. Well, that's 5 years in hell will do that to you.
Right. So then I was also thinking, well, what else do we leave behind? Well, when we die, it's our bodies. And there was a lot of talk about death and the history of this. Oliver, revisited this very creepy, like Silence of the Lambs kind of thing that Prometheus set up for him with all these dead, homeless people that he got or something and killed to put in the same place that the
people. Is that who you thought it was? I was wondering who those other people were.
It just was people. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know who they were supposed to be, but you know, they basically, you know, the in Oliver's memory, it was, you know, like security guards in suits, but then when we saw it, it was just some dude in random clothes, and it looked like it could have been a homeless guy, but then I guess it also could have been, you know, just random people that he was killing, because remember, he was going around just killing people apparently for no reason, though kind of realized they all had anagrammed names that spelled
out. At the time, but he was a...
Older people.
He was a serial killer, so I mean, they're
yeah.
Yeah, that was... It was very... This dude is... He's bad. I mean, he's up there with Damien Dark bad, and he's up there with... I wouldn't even say... I'd say worse than Deathstroke. Deathstroke kind of had a vengeance. I mean, he would fight and beat people up, but he really was Oliver. He was trying to hurt, you know?
Well, this guy has got that level of intensity, but he's also nuts. I mean, that's the thing. I don't know what he's going to do, and I do think it's a really interesting bad guy. Up until the point where we start to try to figure out who he is. I'm going to get to that in just a second. I just wanted to see if there was anything else like that you saw in the What We Leave Behind aspect that, you know, that was going on here.
Well, as far as like the explanation, that is the explanation that I got. And I saw so many depths to that in this. I started thinking about bad guys. In, you know, just these kinds of stories where mm-hmm. you'll see a character, and usually it's the good character, right, that is getting mm-hmm. revenge, you know, against the six-fingered man, say, for example, okay. right, in Princess yes. Bride. Yes. And where
you're going to Princess Bride me.
I'm going to Princess Bride you in this, right?
Okay.
So if he leaves, you know, if a bad guy harms somebody, hurts somebody, does something wrong to somebody, kills somebody's parents, or you know, just has wronged somebody in the past, you'll see a lot of times that the hero that triumphs over that bad guy is somebody that was hurt so bad that they dedicated their life to training and becoming the person that ultimately defeated this person.
Right, right. It's the little boy that you leave alive in the village. You know, because you don't kill children, and that's the person that's going to train and come back, and, you know, 20, 30 years later, they're going to be the ones to take you down.
Right, right. And so Oliver now has a bad guy, a villain, that is after him for the same reason. Now, I can say that he is the villain, Prometheus is the villain, because of mm-hmm. the unethical things that he is doing in order to get to Oliver. You know, a hero would not do that.
Right. Very interesting twist on that story style.
Right. But it was due to what this villain, Prometheus, perceives as things that Oliver did that were unethical, things that Oliver did that made him a bad guy and not a hero.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this whole series, all five seasons, really, the overall arc is what makes you a hero. You know, what do you have to do in order to become a hero? And obviously, Oliver has gone through a lot of different journeys in uh-huh. order to become who he is now. Some of them have been very, very dark, both in the flashbacks and in present day, you know, especially
right.
season one. And I think that is a great, great theme for this whole series. And actually, it's a really good theme for any superhero genre. And we're watching right now on Flash, you know, we always consider him to be the hero. But, man, he has really created a lot of serious, serious problems
right.
Because of his actions. So it was really interesting to me. Now, the other thing that was interesting to me in that whole idea of leaving behind two things is when his girlfriend, you know, is Susan what's her last name? I can't think
Walter,
of her last. Susan Williams.
Or
Susan Williams.
Yeah.
She mentions that same thing to him at the end. And, you know, he even notices it. He even says, yeah, my sister was saying something very similar. So I'll get back to her
right.
in a little bit.
Yeah.
But
okay.
So it just kind of kept coming back. Then also we saw Curtis, how he is doing these things, these heroic things, at least he perceives in his mind. He's got to be who he is. He's got to save the day. He's got to go
yep.
out and help people. And look out at the awful things that it's caused, you know? So Paul is gone. He's very dead serious about this. And Curtis is torn inside. He's having this horrible conflict inside. Felicity, she has made the decision. She's made lots of decisions over this series, and it has come back to haunt her. And we saw it with Rory coming back because she had, you know, had to destroy that nuclear bomb and destroy that city. And we've seen, you know, she made the decision to try to normalize her life by not being with Oliver. And then she gets herself a normal boyfriend. Well, having this boyfriend and her actions and her leading him to Prometheus through those clues ended up getting him killed, you know? And so, I mean, we just see every single character, no matter what they do, has had all these negative things. Yeah. But if you focus on just those, that's what it's going to look like. It's going to look like all of your decisions were bad. But any decision you make every day, Oliver just told Barry this, any decision that you make is going to have ramifications. Yeah. That's part of the job.
Well, and mentioning Curtis, what was interesting was we follow our heroes. You talked about what makes a hero, right? And we kind of always considered Oliver the protagonist, even mm-hmm. season one, and we might have considered him a hero, but he was kind of a hero in training, because even at that point, you and I, as we've discussed in our season one episodes, Oliver was on the road to heroicness, but he didn't quite have all the tools yet, right? He was still making lots of mistakes and stuff.
And he was killing people, and we discussed that at length throughout season one.
So you've got this full arc for him where he's switched over and is a different kind of person now. And he's got all these people following him that are helping out and fighting, you know, these bad guys and stuff. But what I was reminded of when Curtis was trying to explain what he does to Paul, all of a sudden I'm like, wait a second. Now, it's like one of those things where it's like, yeah, what do you do? And, you've got this thing that you've kind of built up in your mind, but as soon as you try to explain it, it doesn't sound as good at all. And that's what I felt Curtis was doing. He was like, well, yeah, I am a vigilante, but no, it's only, you know, the bad guys that really deserve it. And most of the time we're really just trying to lock them up in jail. And it's like, all these words are coming out of his mouth. And I'm like, dude, this is, you know, you need to just stop talking, because this is not helping at all. I thought that was a really interesting take to, you know, kind of remind the characters and us that, you know, they're still really outside the law. This is, and all the things you talked about earlier is what, to me, makes Prometheus a really interesting villain. When we started the season with, what was the mobster's name? I've completely forgotten his name now. Anyway, I thought, okay, this is an interesting bad guy. And
are you talking about Tobias Church? Or
oh, yeah, Tobias. Yeah, yes. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Tobias, yes. I just thought that he was, okay, that's interesting, but it doesn't sound like what the producers have talked about, the theme that they wanted to go for. And then as they started to bring Prometheus into it, I'm like, oh, okay, this guy can be really dangerous, because they've built up this whole thing where he, you know, his backstory is intertwined with Oliver, which is, you know, as I've talked about over the last three or four episodes, I'm going back and watching first season episodes again. It's like trying to get the flavor of what was going on. And let's look at some of the things they're trying to do to make the fifth season episodes relate to the first season episodes. And so we're going to have some kind of revelation of a character from that. And so here, Prometheus, now we get some backstory and we totally know who this guy is. Yeah, he's a 50-year-old pharmaceutical tycoon. No, wait. No, he's not. That's stupid. Why would they even think he's this guy? I mean, Oliver killed him. I understand that, you know, people do tend to come back from death on Wednesdays in Star City. But all of a sudden, I'm watching them, I'm like excited, like, oh, we're starting the flashbacks. We're going to find out some. Wait a second. They're doing flashbacks from 4 years ago? Wait, why are they doing that? Oh, that's first season. Okay, so this is going to be like the flip side of a scene we saw, like, you know, where Oliver left a scene in season one in an episode, and now we're going to see what happened right after. No, okay. No, we're we're doing brand new stuff. I felt like these flashbacks were like a cheat, that they really didn't have a plan to pull something from season one. They are writing new season one stories and putting it into a season five episode, saying, well, yeah, this is what you didn't see this. This was another episode that we had, but we just never showed it to you. And I'm like, that just, to me, that just feels like a cheat. Where I felt like if they had worked it, you know, they could have done something like I just described, where it's like an alternate part of an episode we've already seen with some characters that we already knew about in some fashion, but maybe we just didn't know everything about them. Maybe we knew about the dad, but we didn't know that he had this bastard child, which is fine. And that's what they showed us. It could have just been a little more, I don't even know, just creative.
So you'll have to remind me now, or if you know, was Claiborne ever mentioned in first season at all? Or I mean,
no, I don't remember him being mentioned. I don't believe that we ever saw his name in the book, you know, even in like a screen grab. Okay. Though I haven't checked all of my screenshots from the book era of shows, but no, I mean, I feel, you know, and we've never mentioned this pharmaceutical company before, or the Lamb. What did they call it? Lamb Town or something?
Yeah. I can't
whatever
what
you know, whatever
either,
that was. So it was creating prequel elements without any basis in stuff that you've already told a story on.
Sure. I see what you're saying. And considering that they have done such a great job weaving the ideas from season one into this season as a connection, I'm a little surprised they didn't do that as well. But for me, it fit very much the kind of stuff that he was doing.
It's like a lost episode. It could totally have fit in there.
Yeah,
I just would have liked
them
to have utilized elements from stuff that occurred. And in my discussion with this person that works on Random Chatter, you know, they were kind of comparing it to compared it to Babylon 5, where parts of future episodes and seasons hinged on very minute details from season one. And he's like, oh yeah, but that's entirely different. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a Babylon 5 fan, so I can't really speak to that. But I think it's totally, you know, whether it hinged on a little minute detail that was real, if it did hinge on a detail that was real and people didn't know about it, I mean, they could have easily shown it in the previously on, but also just give something people to go back and discover. But this is like, oh, wow, I don't remember that. And then people are going to go back and look for it, and there's really not anything there. I don't know. That's my thing. And then, of course, because of that, they were able to have Diggle in these flashbacks to season one, you know, because they do like to make their flashbacks relate to the main story, as we talk about. But they make it a little too spot on, because Diggle, you know, says, Oliver, you got to be careful because your actions can have unintended consequences. Cut to the present day. Oh, my gosh, John. I just remembered you told me that my actions could have unintended consequences. It's like, that was just too spot on, too on
the nose.
A
little bit too quotey for you, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
So did you happen to look back at what episode 9 was from season 1?
I did not.
It was their Christmas party again. It was the Christmas one. And now this one supposedly revealed who Prometheus was. I'm not sure I buy into what they're kind of saying there. But during that one, that was the one where the Dark Archer was revealed to be Malcolm Merlyn.
Oh, okay.
It was also the episode where Walter was abducted. And so we had Billy abducted in this one, and those ended very differently, I will tell you that. But So let's see, who else? Somebody, Oliver rescued these hostages, but he was also shot by an unknown archer, but we found out that was Malcolm Merlyn. So I guess Oliver wasn't... Wait, was Oliver shot by... No, Oliver wasn't shot by the Archer. I was thinking of that scene where he actually shot Claiborne in the leg, which is actually kind of a cool scene. But so anyways, a little bit of connection to what was going on. But I think, you know, the connection mainly was what they made up from that year. So.
Right. And, well, it's all made up in the end anyway, right? But I just feel like they could have taken, you know, just a couple more hours and tried to weave something else together. I don't know. But then the other thing that we've been seeing throughout the season is, like, Tobias Church was wanting to kill Oliver Queen, wanting to kill the Green Arrow, and Prometheus kept getting mad at him, saying, no, wait, he's mine. And then Tobias actually makes a move, and Prometheus kills him. Now, I don't remember the exact quote from Prometheus, but the idea that I believe we were supposed to get is that Prometheus wanted to kill Oliver and not Tobias, you know, not let somebody else do it. And maybe it was Tobias that was espousing that, but now we find out he really doesn't want to kill Oliver. He just wants to make him wish he was dead. And he's going to do that by turning his friends against him because, you know, he knows all about Oliver. You know, he knows when he's been naughty and when he's been not. Wait a second. Prometheus is Santa Claus. No, he wait. No, the beard.
That's why he's taking some time off here.
It's because they need the 7 weeks to do the holidays and stuff.
Yeah,
we go to this idea that, this is pretty cool. So, I mean, this is a pretty dastardly deed. This guy has planned, we're talking Emperor Palpatine level of revenge plans, like wheels within wheels. He set up so much stuff. I mean, how much trouble did he go through to set up this this building with all these dead bodies in the exact place that Oliver had killed all the people on the way to kill Justin Claiborne? And when Oliver finally gets to the end of the maze where he kills Claiborne, that's where he finds Prometheus. And then, you know, there's just all this stuff that's set up. And I'm like, okay, this is really cool. And using Billy as the stand-in, I figured that out, you know, just like 20 seconds before it happened. I'm like, oh, no, wait a second. Because, you know, we're just hearing the voice and it's all very disorienting. I'm like, oh, wait, I think this is what's going to happen. And then he pulls the mask off, and I'm like, oh, my God, Prometheus is Billy. No, wait a second. He's got tape on his mouth. So, you know, so I was like, okay, this is getting pretty cool here. and he's using Evelyn to set up all this stuff. So his plans appear to be, if I can just kind of go through the various characters, he's going to kill Felicity's boyfriend, which he's hoping will drive Felicity – a wedge between Oliver and Felicity, if Oliver is the one that has to kill Billy. Though that didn't seem to work. Like, it actually seemed to make the bonds of his team stronger.
Yeah, it did. And I don't think he anticipated that.
Right. Now, he also, his plan appears to have been to kidnap Lila, potentially. I'm unclear on this. We do know he has the little voice changer box like he had on Billy and stuff. And obviously the voice we're hearing is not the character's voice. You know, it's like Oliver uses. But anyway, that was what got Diggle to race to the safe house, and the SWAT team or whoever it was were waiting for him. Cause he's a fugitive, from, escaping or, deserting the, army. Right.
Right. Uh-huh.
Or we're getting broken out. Sorry,
not just deserting. I mean, they think he set up that whole plot it was his commanding officer did that, but and killed that the younger soldier.
The younger soldier.
So they blamed
right.
that on Diggle. So they think he's not just deserter, but also a bad dude.
Right. Well, and having escaped from jail on top of all that. He used Evelyn as his way into the group. So he had already sort of poisoned her mind, but it seems like that was based on issues that she had as soon as she found out that he had been the Hood. there was probably, she already had a really, really tenuous reason to be there, just given the fact that, you know, he couldn't save her parents and stuff. So she was kind of there, but, you know, that was really the weak link that Prometheus saw and grabbed onto. I'd seen this mentioned online, and I thought about this a little bit. There were some similarities with the way Evelyn is in, you know, the group. It relates a little bit to a Teen Titans storyline called the Judas Contract from the early run of the Teen Titans in the early 1980s, the Marv Wolfman and George Perez, where they at the time it was pretty incredible. They set up a new female recruit, brand new character that they had created to join the Teen Titans. So besides Robin and Kid Flash and Speedy and Wonder Girl, I think then they had Terra and a new girl that Terra Markov, and they set her up and did all this stuff. And it turns out after a number of issues that she's actually a mole, set in there by a bad guy to disrupt and break up the Teen Titans. And they actually ended up killing her, which was, you know, pretty shocking at the time. It's when, you know, things like this didn't happen with the teams, the team books and stuff like that. He's also trying to break up Paul and Curtis, which that was a huge part of the episode. So it seemed like there actually was a lot more of Paul and Curtis in this episode. And it was only weird to me in the sense that we had seen Paul off and on before, but we haven't seen him for a long time. And I actually had been thinking about this because I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the show. Just there were parts where it's like we always see the Felicity with her boyfriend or Oliver with whoever he's with, Diggles with Lila. We see characters with significant others or, you know, dates or something like that. But they hadn't done anything with Curtis for a while. And I just thought that was a little weird because he really, other than Diggle, he's the only other married character on the show. And I don't know if they're just trying to avoid having to, you know, do something because the characters are gay, which I wouldn't think about. I mean, I wouldn't think that's what they were doing because why would you, you know, make them gay in the first place and then not use that character. I think there's a lot they could be doing with that, obviously, but it just seemed like there was a lot going on with them because we hadn't done anything with them for a while.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I think it was more of a time issue with just how much time to spend on Curtis. They just hadn't – I mean, they haven't really spent that much time on Curtis in any episode this season. Mm-hmm. A little bit here and there with training, but it's usually, you know, team stuff, but not right. Specifically on him. So this one was a little more focused on his character just because it worked well. So do you think – I got to thinking of this one, especially as you were reading your list. Do you think that was the ultimate goal for Prometheus is to break up him? I really just wanted to make everyone hurt. And so that's what it was, I suppose, that that made Curtis hurt so bad.
If Evelyn has been feeding information, it could be one of these things, you know, because she's like, hey, you know, he's always training and, you know, he goes home late and stuff like this. And maybe Curtis has talked about the fact that, you know, Paul, you know, was surprised I was home. You know, it seemed like there was kind of like Evelyn was this weak link for him to get in. It seemed like there was already Paul was already questioning what was going on with Curtis, you know, and obviously went to the first thing is like, is there someone else in your life? And I, man, that was kind of tough because, you know, Paul gives this ultimatum, as Curtis points out, and, you know, Curtis is going to make a choice, but he's trying to he wants to convince Paul, you know, to stay with him. And he says, like, you've hardly given me any time since this ultimatum. And Paul's response, like, kind of killed me. It was just that, you know, I'm not the kind of guy to make ultimatums. Yet you're making me make an ultimatum. It's like, yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. So, yeah, I could totally see Paul's point of view. I mean, it was a really good argument.
Yeah.
This is like, was, I mean, I can't watch you do this. This is, I mean, you know, I love you. I don't want anything to happen to you. And you're putting yourself in it. You know, it's kind of like being married to an addict, you know? I mean, you just, mm-hmm. you can't watch them go through that. You don't want to be a part of the entitling somebody or empowering somebody to harm themselves, you know? Mm-hmm. And knowing what he would know and letting him still do it, that's what he would be doing, is empowering him to continue with it. So,
right. Well, and like I mentioned earlier, just when Curtis is trying to explain what he does, and it, you know, he hears the words coming out of his mouth, and he's like, well, you know, it's not really as bad as it sounds. It was. I mean, that's got to be, you know, it'd be like you said, like with someone who's an addict, it's, you know, it's just this self-destructive behavior is what it sounds like is coming out of their mouth.
Yeah.
So, also in his list of pictures, so we don't see really anything with Rory or Renee this week, though Renee is already doesn't listen and doesn't like being told what to do. So I feel like there's probably a quick path for him. Not really sure what they might be thinking about with Rory, but also in the photos was Detective Lance, and he had a red X through him, and I was like, wait a second, did he he didn't die, but he's out of the picture, right? Because he's in he got checked into rehab 2 or 3 weeks ago by Thea. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm assuming that was also
well, remember, he was trying to
part of it
frame him. He was trying to make it look like he was the Throwing Star killer.
Oh, yeah, right. So
he'd already been kind of working on him, and now he is kind of out of the picture, but...
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd put a red X on him, maybe a little asterisk or something.
And then you've got Susan Williams, who, you know, appears to just be this reporter. You know, she's interested in Oliver. They've got this agreement that she's going to hold off on any of... damaging stories, but she seems to kind of be falling for his charm. There's the from 3 or 4 episodes ago, she did find out that, or she got information or a picture that Oliver was in Russia around the time that he should have been on the island, when she was getting some information from one of her sources. But we haven't revisited that or any part of that storyline. So that kind of is still hanging out there. But up until now, I've thought that she's just holding off on that because of the agreement that they have. But this feels really weird. I'm not sure what else is going on.
So what did you see anything specific that felt weird in that interaction with her tonight? Or were you too distracted by her flaming hot red dress?
I can't pick. I mean, really, I can't pick any one thing, I guess. It's just there's...
Okay. Well, there was one thing I saw as he was coming into her apartment.
Oh, at the end...
Should I bring that up?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Go ahead with that. Yeah, no, I was thinking more about it, the party at the beginning.
Oh, at the party, yeah. Or I just meant in any part of the episode. So
yeah, no, go ahead. But go ahead. What do you think about specifically?
So she's comforting him, you know, as girlfriends and boyfriends do when you're feeling down and out, and you can't explain to him how you've been a vigilante for 5 years and, you know, you kill people, but you're really a good guy and stuff.
Right.
And she goes over to get him a drink.
Mm-hmm.
And she picks, oh, I don't know, a nice bottle of Russian vodka.
Right, but I mean, if you've got a little bar cart, right, you're going to have vodka. Right?
This is Russian vodka. It had Russian writing on it.
I believe it's called Cyrillic.
I wonder what it's... I wonder if that Russian translated to anything telling. I didn't think about even looking at that, but
oh my gosh! Well, yeah,
I'm sure
have a screenshot and get it translated.
It's probably just a Russian vodka brand name. All they need is the fact that it is Russian. But okay, so this Prometheus was trained by somebody that Oliver was also trained by.
Some woman, that Oliver was also trained by from Russia, Which obviously we haven't been introduced to yet.
That's what I was going to say. So they didn't do any Russian flashbacks this week.
Right.
Well, no, I guess the second episode this season, they haven't done flashbacks from Russia because they didn't last week in the crossover.
Correct. Correct.
Which would have felt kind of weird if they had. So I'm glad they didn't do that. But, Okay. So any thoughts on what that means?
No.
Okay.
I can't remember if this was in a comment we got from like Facebook or if this was something I saw somebody else post online. Somebody was saying maybe Susan is Prometheus's sister. And it's a two-prong assault. Prometheus goes and takes out all these people that Oliver cares for to kind of and drive him towards Susan as she, you know, comes in all loving and stuff like that, and then she's going to do something evil to him. Though, again, I'm talking Palpatine machinations here. That's just okay. The setup for that is outrageous.
So she's going to seduce and abandon the sheriff of Rock Ridge, is that what you're saying?
Rock Ridge. I don't know. That's almost too extreme.
But we think that she's got some sort of connection to Prometheus because of that bottle of Russian vodka.
That's what I think. And maybe that's why she took that information from her source about Oliver being in Russia and, you know, hasn't done anything with it yet because she doesn't want to reveal it because it's already part of their plan or something.
Okay.
But again, I think that's just That's so outlandish. The show has been out there sometimes, but it doesn't get that crazy. Wait a second. I'm sorry.
You know, I stole your moment there. Go ahead.
it's Laurel. Laurel's back. Wait, so no, she's not. This is not really what's going on, is it?
No.
I mean, it
question mark? No.
it can't really be Laurel, right? It's got to be a comic book thing, right? She's not really back from the dead. It's got to be like a clone or maybe Laurel a clone, hallucination, okay. Right? Because there was nobody else there.
We've done that before. We've done hallucination, so that's possible.
And maybe plastic surgery from Prometheus's girlfriend to look like Oliver's dead lover? I mean, you know, that is kind of out there though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a little out there. I don't know. I'm not sure what they're going to do. I don't think it's Laurel. I don't think it has anything to do with Flashpoint.
I don't think it has anything to do with even though they keep mentioning Flashpoint now, I'm like, all right, stop. You guys, you know, you can't keep talking about Flash stuff every week because I'm not keeping up with Legends of Tomorrow, and I want to know that they're not causing time quakes over there that are going to reverberate into Arrow and make me think that I have to be watching.
They were trying to just put kind of the finishing touches and wrap up the idea of Flashpoint in this episode. Now that it wasn't a crossover, they're just kind of establishing everything. Okay. And they're telling us
remember
whatever happened in Flashpoint. That's how it is. We're just going with it. Diggle has a son, deal with it. You know, and that's just the way it goes. And they also kind of made a point of saying nothing else is going to change because of time travel and things like that.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of why they did that this week.
So Lazarus Pit? Maybe?
No. I don't think it's really Laurel.
You don't think it's really Laurel? Okay.
I don't.
Is it like a Laurel model decoy? Like an LMD or something like that?
Laurel model decoy, yeah. Wrong franchise, but I don't think it's going to be that either. Maybe somebody that does look like her or they got a good disguise or something. Maybe the Brockma has something like that. I don't know. I think we'll find some more clues next week during some flashbacks. If not, I don't think we'll get an explanation.
Oh,
not next week.
Oh, next week? Oh, my gosh, because I was going to say.
7 weeks. Next 7 weeks.
Next 7 weeks.
Next episode, excuse me.
Next episode, yeah. If they don't start with that sequence. Oh my gosh, Laurel, because you know what happens when they have these mid-season breaks. If yes. they're gone for yes. 7 weeks, we jump 7 weeks as well.
Oh, that's true.
And
they do often. This, they almost always do that.
This is going to feel, this could potentially feel like even more of a cheat than I was talking about with the flashbacks, because they can totally play this off different. I mean, I thought it was kind of cheesy for them, I believe, in season three to have Oliver get stabbed through the, you know, through the chest and thrown off a cliff in the snow, you know, for us to come back and find that, you know, oh, it's only a flesh wound and he only fell, you know, like 10 feet onto a ledge or something like that. You know, I could kind of deal with that, though. That was kind of the first crack in the armor, I feel, because that was pretty extreme. And how do you come back from that? But this, it's like, hey, dead woman that I used to date, how you doing? And I was looking at her. It looked like she had something in her ear. I think it was kind of like an ear cuff.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I was almost thinking, it's like, I wonder if it looks like she's wearing like a little ear, like an earpiece, like a radio receiver or something mm-hmm. there, which, you know, would, but they didn't show it well enough. They would, you know, if they really wanted you to see that, I think they would have cheated over a little bit more so you could actually see it a little bit. But, you know, because if it wasn't Laurel, she has an earpiece in, so someone can tell her how she's supposed to react to certain things, right? Because and that's how it would work for people who are... It's the human target. I just figured it out.
It's, there you go. See, there are precedents for having that good of a disguise.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Not that I'm saying it's the human target, but I'm just saying that there are possibilities. And they use the Herman.
Look pretty good.
They use the human target this season as, you know, as an episode to, as he was a decoy for Oliver. So it's, you know, something like that. It could be. I think that's what it is. But
that actually, you know, it's great when we talk because, you know, like I don't think of this stuff on my own. So. Interesting stuff there.
Well, and again, I don't want to sound like an apologist. I just think it didn't bother me, didn't affect me. I was shocked for sure, which I think is what they were going for. And I want to know what happens, but I'll keep it in the realm of believability because I've seen magic on this show, which I thought was kind of fun, that little flashback where Oliver told Felicity he believes in magic. Yeah. Speaking of which, there you go. Could be something like that too, although they're trying to get away from that, I've heard.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. Well, and then this episode, I thought, made some really good references to the crossover, you know, so Merry Christmas from the Dominators, because they gave Thea the gift of appreciation. But I like that they kind of revisited these thematic elements that, you know, that what the characters learned last week on their 100th episode was not wasted, right? I appreciated that holdover. And then Oliver talked about how he rewatched It's a Wonderful Life last week. And I was thinking, last week, that would mean that was during the crossover? And wait a second. So not really. He really did not watch It's a Wonderful Life. But It's a Wonderful Life, for those that have not seen it, Jimmy Stewart movie, great holiday movie. If you guys haven't seen it, you should absolutely see it. But Jimmy Stewart wishes he was dead. All this bad stuff's happening to him. And so Clarence the Angel gives him his wish. He wishes he was never born. So Clarence shows him what the world would be like if George Bailey was never born and all this stuff, you know, that he kind of took for granted and didn't realize, you know, what, how blessed he was as a person. You know, he is shown what the world would be without him. And of course that makes him appreciate his life even more when he is, returned to it. So that, you know, that's kind of what Oliver experienced last week. So I thought that was kind of cool. Basically he was able to say this, you know, to these people without admitting that he actually fought aliens and had this experience with his family.
It was really a Bass Ackwards It's a Wonderful Life, though.
yeah, it was.
It's like, look, if you hadn't ever gone on the boat, everything would actually be wonderful. But So well.
Yeah. And then
I want to be a vigilante, Clarence. Please. Please, I want to go back to being the Hood.
Every time an arrow kills someone, an angel gets their wings. So that would very much fit with season one there. So
they did have a little transition between an arrow and a Christmas ornament, though. Did you notice that one?
That was one of the more awesome transitions, and then one of the worst transitions was the pile of sand to the pile of ashes on the machine. Or the big belly burger bag. I'm kind of torn between those two. But the arrow to the Christmas tree ornament, I was like, wow, that was really, that was smooth. That was, I really enjoyed that because it, you know, it really put me in this mood for the holidays. So,
and for going out and shooting people.
Yeah. I really want to hang an arrowhead on my Christmas tree now. So
I do too.
We also got a tease for some, of Renee's backstory that potentially he's got kids or has a kid or had a kid or something like that we're not aware of. I thought there was just a really nice moment between, him and Diggle. And it was just really funny too. He starts opening the package, that Evelyn brought. And, everyone's like, Rory's like, did you just not hear what she said a moment ago? He's like, hey, I'm not really good at listening and I don't follow directions, you know? So it's like, yep, that is the character. I mean, they're very consistent with the character. He doesn't listen and almost screwed up Evelyn's plan. Like, I think she probably would not have exposed herself at that point if Renee had not, not listened to Oliver, you know, to stay put when they did their infiltration on where Prometheus was. So
that's true.
I felt Renee was kind of abrasive early on. I'm interested more to find out what's going on with this character. It's just, there's some interesting stuff going on there, and he's starting to fit together with the team a little bit more, you know, and he is, you know, he is kind of an outlier with the team and stuff, but I think he feels the benefit and he wants to be there now. And he wants to help with them. And I think he's, you know, toeing the line a little bit more than
he's growing on me.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's see. We got a little bit of feedback. So in response to what was going on with Laurel being back, Sarah posted on our Facebook page and she said, okay, I got my wish and Laurel is back. Even if it is only briefly, I'll take it. Arrow is really firing on all cylinders this season. And I pointed out a couple of my theories as well. And she said, well, I figure it'll be like when Green Goblin brought Gwen back as a clone to screw with Spider-Man. Someone obviously is screwing with Oliver, but Arrow has earned back enough of my faith in their storytelling this season, so she's willing to go along for the ride.
If I remember correctly, I think Sarah was really, really sad that the Sarah was, or not Sarah, but Laurel was, that's getting the sisters mixed up. Sarah was really upset that Laurel had died last season. And
she was, yeah, it was one of those things that she really didn't want it to happen. I remember Sarah posting that to us before. And I think a lot, you know, as I had said last season, they took Laurel from a character I really, really disliked or just didn't care about and, you know, made her a character that, you know, was integral to the show. And then they took her off. Of course, now Katie Cassidy is has signed some kind of contract to be able to appear on all the different shows. I was going to say, Laurel could potentially be a, you know, an Earth 2, Earth 3, Earth 19 version of Laurel for some potential. But, you know, again, that really requires you to have some knowledge about what's going on in Flash. So I don't know that they would necessarily have a doppelganger kind of character.
Yeah, set I wouldn't up think so either.
For that.
She does have a doppelganger, and we've seen on Flash, but not in this right, show.
Exactly. And any other feedback we got here?
Let's see. Derek on Facebook, or let's see, Mark. No, Derek. Who should I do, Derek or Mark?
Well, whichever.
Okay, well, Derek says, Arrow's mini-finale was a wonderful edge-of-your-seat experience. I spent the whole episode frantically trying to guess who Prometheus is, and they did a masterful job of making everyone equally suspicious. Tommy, cop boyfriend, Curtis's husband, vigilante. Ooh, Paul is Prometheus. Wouldn't that be a big twist?
I was saying that to my wife, too. I'm like, oh, look, Paul's Paul can't be Prometheus. He's right there, so.
Yeah, he would need some stealth or something. But who knows? I do know one thing. Reporter girlfriend is in on it. The camera lingered for just a second to show she had Russian vodka with Cyrillic writing. Ooh, is that what they call Russian writing?
Yes, Cyrillic.
Oh, I didn't know that. And Oliver said Prometheus trained with the same Russian. She is Prometheus's sister. Oh, look at that. Derek agrees with you on the sister thing.
Yeah, no, that was, I think, that was what I had read.
Is that what you read about Derek's sister?
Yeah. Okay, it wasn't that I read something else and Derek agrees with me. Yeah. Oh, my God. Derek is Prometheus.
Oh, my God. No, that's – you know what? Derek, I was equally as excited as you were as I was watching this. But
– just say you're sorry, Josh.
I apologize.
Yeah. And then Mark pointed out something to us or posted something to us on Facebook after the crossover last week, and he was like, the Russian maid. I credit that to you guys. Great work. So,
if nothing else, we've kept the Russian maid alive.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool, though. I liked that, too. So, we just got a quick message from Paul on Facebook I wanted to share, too, because this is interesting. I hadn't even put this together yet, but Arrow, Flash, and Legends all had heroes seeing the return of dead characters. Were they connected? Also, do we have confirmation on who's doing the voice of Prometheus? Because it sounds like Michael Dorn. Michael Dorn from Star Trek, right? He played Worf. Really, I don't know about that. I hadn't thought about that. I'm going to have to go back and listen again. Because Michael Dorn has a very distinctive voice.
Yeah. Yeah. But, wow. That is interesting. So, I don't know.
As far as the return of dead characters, it was so... Well, I don't know. I was going to say it was so different on Flash. We saw Cisco's brother return. It was kind of a hallucination of sorts that I don't feel like it's the same, that they would be connected. And I haven't seen Legends yet, but interesting.
Yeah, I believe Captain Cold is back on Legends.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I did know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Well, maybe it's just a Christmas thing.
The ghost of characters past.
Or future. Some-
Oh, yeah, depending on what show you're talking about, right?
That's right.
Well, some pop culture references and stuff on the show here. Oliver is awesome because he does believe Die Hard is the best Christmas movie. As the memes go this season, it's not Christmas time until Hans Gruber falls from Nakatomi Plaza. So it is one of the few films that I do always put on, though I do watch traditional Christmas films like Christmas Story and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. But Die Hard is a big one in this house.
It's got a Christmas song in it. That counts.
It's got three Christmas songs at least in it.
That's right.
Because there's the Run DMC Christmas in Hollis, I think, as well as Let It Snow, Let It Snow. And then there's another one somewhere in the middle. So, also references to Flashpoint and the aliens from the crossover episode last week. What I thought was a very foreshadowing line by Felicity where she says, well, people who are dead turn out to be secretly alive every Wednesday. Which, you know, I think it's funny when they point things out like that. Again, that was a little spot on, but the fact that, well, a dead character, not the dead character they were talking about, but an entirely different dead character showed up. Who are they referencing with the Children of the Corn vibe?
Was that? They did say something about Children of the Corn.
Yeah, it was referencing Evelyn with the vibe to to the Stephen King. I think it was Rory or Renee that pointed that out. And then we got while we saw the Return of the Fern last week, we saw Felicity's red pen, which she was always using in first season episodes in their little flashback to the 4 years ago. So that was a nice little throwback. I thought that was pretty cool.
I like the throwback. A little awkward transition there, but it was a nice throwback.
Yeah. So, I feel a little bit better about the episode. I think it's definitely not the – the worst episode, though it mid-season finales for Arrow seem to frustrate me more than on other shows, only because they really require me, like you said at the beginning, to stretch the credibility and you know, withhold my you know, belief and stuff and everything there. So
yeah, well, the writers have always said, you know, they like to throw these ideas in the mix that they really have to find a way to get themselves out of. They have to challenge themselves, and I think they have done this this time. But I will say it piqued my interest greatly, and I am excited to see where they go with it.
I'm excited to see where they go with it. I my only problem is, and really this is more about the Laurel return than the Prometheus reveal, because while I thought Prometheus was going to be somebody that we might know, it now seems like it's really no one we've ever will ever have met before, unless it turns out to be like Deathstroke, you know, or something like that. I'm just, you know, because I don't know. You know, we've got a guy who can use a sword and an arrow and throwing stars. And,
well, I'm still not convinced that it is, you know, Claiborne Jr. or whatever he's going to be called. But I still think it might be somebody that we turn out to know. And this was just another way for Prometheus to be getting revenge on Oliver through this scenario. But yeah. I could be wrong, but I still think it's going to be somebody we know.
Well, and my biggest things are just with the Laurel reveal is that I can only think of all the bad ways that this could turn out, like how unfulfilling it will be, because I can't really see what a good through line, you know, like I'm trying to think, how would I be satisfied if they brought this character back? And if it really is the character, if it really is Laurel, I would enjoy that she comes back, but I would not be satisfied with any revelation as to why she would be back at this point that I can think of. I mean, it's just, I don't know. And
yep,
and
we'll see.
I kind of agree with Sarah that, you know, they've given me a lot of goodwill so far this season, and I am willing to go along for the ride, but it's just, I don't know. I'm having like PTSD back to season four, Josh. And
all right. Well, you're going to be okay. I'm going to walk you through this. Or if we're by the stairs, I will zip line down through this with you. So don't worry. So,
okay.
We'll make it as easy as we need to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, thank you for joining me for the mid-season finale and for our final episode here of 2016. From both of us at Green Justice, we'd like to wish everybody a happy holidays and a wonderful new year. And thank you for listening to our episode this week.
Yeah, we really, really, really do appreciate it. So, and if you enjoy this episode, we'd love to have some feedback for you on iTunes. That would be a great, great holiday, Christmas, Hanukkah present, whatever you'd like to give it to us for. And you know what else I would love to have? I would love to have some feedback directly from you. I'd like you to contact us. You can send us an email, greenjustice@randomchatter.com, and you can call me an apologist if you want, or you can agree with me, or whatever you'd like. It's totally up to you. Or you can go to Twitter and make some comments and tell us how you're liking certain things on the series. @GreenJusticePod is where you'll find us on Twitter, or go over to our Facebook page. Check out some of the cool pictures and comments over there, facebook.com/GreenJusticePodcast.
And if you don't agree with me, I don't want to hear from you. No, I'm kidding. You can also check out the other shows that Josh and I host, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, which both went through their mid-season finales this week. So we won't be back with any of those shows until like mid-January or end of January. You can find back issues of or back episodes of our podcast at randomchatter.com. And you can also find all the shows in the iTunes store or through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And as you guys enjoy the podcast, we would hope you would share that with your friends and your family and anybody else that watches the show. Heck, you could share with people that don't watch the show, but don't know how well that would go over. But remember, if you guys don't keep listening, you have failed this city.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.